If you have your Bibles, could you turn to Judges 6 again this morning, Judges chapter 6. And if we could just go a little bit further. You know, there's a prayer that you've probably heard this before. Some of you I know have heard it many times. I believe, and if I'm wrong, somebody correct me if you know better than I about this. I believe it was Sister Robinson that taught this prayer. Now, it's not just a prayer that you pray by rote, and then, you know, no prayer should just be prayed by rote. But she, I believe by the Lord, taught those in the early days in Zion to pray this: Lord, take me as I am, and make me what you want me to be, body, soul, and spirit, no matter what it cost. For Jesus' sake, amen. That's a good prayer. And as I thought of it this morning, I couldn't help but think, and I guess maybe I'm just programmed or wired this way right now, at least this week, but I couldn't help but think of Gideon. Now, Gideon didn't pray that prayer, but he did pray that prayer before Sister Robinson even taught it. He knew it. Maybe it's not Gideon's prayer or Sister Robinson's prayer. Maybe it's a prayer the Holy Ghost would have every one of us to pray. Lord, take me as I am. Now, I'm not going to go through what we've talked about in the whole story, but that's what Gideon did. That's what he's to take me as I am. Take me as I am and make me what you want me to be, a mighty man of valor. Make me what you want to be. I can't. I'm the least. I'm no good. I'm nothing. I'm a lump of clay. But Lord, take me just the way I am. And now make me what you want me to be, in my body, in my soul, and in my spirit, for Jesus' sake, no matter what it cost, no matter what it cost. It might cost me that ephah of flour and that young goat, and it might cost me my life if they get a hold of my neck after knocking down the Asherah poles and the Baal altars. It might be a great peril to me in a lot of different ways, but take me as I am and make me what you want me to be, body, soul, or spirit, no matter what it cost. There's a cost involved to following Jesus. I know, I understand, you know, it's free, and we just take it, and you don't pay anything. It doesn't cost you anything monetarily, but it does cost you your life. Now, that maybe is an oxymoron to some. How could that be? How could it not cost me anything? It cost me my life. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. There's no amount of work we can do to earn it. There's no amount of money that we can pay to achieve, but yet we need to give our all that we are, just what we have. Lord, take me, make me, no matter what it cost. So Gideon had gotten to the place, if you were here, not just physically here, but mentally and emotionally here, you can look this way. Don't go to sleep. This way, up. Levanta se, por favor. Thank you. Maybe it was too late last night. I don't know, for some. But anyway, take me as I am. Make me what you want me to be. And Gideon, of course, was a man like that. And now, is he ready now? Is he ready now for service? Is he ready now to be used the way God wanted to use him? And some of you yesterday, you had him ready already. I mean, you had him ready before he was ready. At least that was my opinion. You had him ready after he had poured out everything that he had. He poured it all on that rock. The fire consumed that sacrifice that he brought. And is he ready? Yes, he's ready. But no, he wasn't. That same night, the Lord spoke to him and said, go cut down that Asherah pole and get rid of those Baal altars. And that's no good either. You got to get rid of that stuff too. And so they got rid of that stuff that very night. And now is he ready? Now, I ask the question, is he ready now? And the answer is no. Okay, I'm not going to let you say the wrong answer. So no, he's not ready yet. He's not. And you say, well, I mean, this is kind of, how far do you got to go before the Lord can make us qualified for service? Farther than what Gideon is right now. Let's forget Gideon. We'll come back to him a little later on because we'll come in through the back door this morning instead of the front door. Let me ask you about the disciples who were much more familiar with than Gideon. We know Peter, James, and John. There were 12 disciples. Jesus called to help him. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, the son of John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. Okay, we got them all. Yeah, those guys, and there were all some others that attached themselves. They followed Jesus for how long?
3 years.
About 3 years. Okay, he called Matthew, this guy, that guy, called him, and they followed for 3 years. They heard Jesus speak. Did they love Jesus? They loved him very much. We read that flesh and blood to Peter. The Lord said, flesh and blood hasn't taught you this. My Father's told you this, taught you this from heaven. Reveal these things to you. Peter knew the Lord. He loved the Lord. He followed the Lord. Were these disciples, any of them, Peter, James, John, and the rest of the bunch, were any of them ready yet to fulfill in what God had called them to? When God called Peter, what did he call him for? Just to follow him for 3 years? Now, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Was Peter ready yet after 3 years?
No.
Okay, great. I'm glad you're with me on that one, because they weren't. They weren't. None of them were. John, it says he loved Jesus, right? He put his head on Jesus' shoulder. He loved Jesus maybe more than any of them did. I don't know. But he certainly loved the Lord a lot. Was he ready yet for service? No, none of them were. What was missing?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is missing, you're never going to get there. I don't believe that you can. You can't get to where the Lord wants you to be. You can't be qualified for service. Now, that is a theme in the scriptures that is about as big as, I was going to say the nose on your, no. It's big. It's big. That theme is big. It goes all the way from the beginnings of the Old Testament, and it runs all the way through to the end of the Bible. We need the Holy Spirit. Everything in the temple, everything in the tabernacle needed to be what? Anointed with oil before it was qualified to be used to serve. Now, why is that? Why do they have to take the censer that snips the little wick on the flame? Why did they need to anoint that censer with oil? What for? Well, it wasn't anything to help the flame or the scissors cut better, or so they didn't get jammed or frozen. No, it had nothing to do with that. What did it have to do with? It had to do with what oil represents. It was a type of the Holy Spirit. And the anointing, and everything and anything that was used in the service of the Lord, in the service of anything that was used, had to be anointed. Had to be anointed. And so they would take, you know, no matter what it was, the altar, the showbread altar, this, that, everything. You read that in the book of Leviticus. Everything has to be anointed with oil. And how about the priest? What did he need before he was qualified for service? He needed to be anointed. How about any king before the king of Israel or Judah? Oil on his head. I mean, really, oil on his head. And how about the high priests? The high priests too? Everybody that spoke, taught, ministered, served, anything that had anything to do with the service of the Lord, wasn't yet ready until it was anointed. Until the Holy Spirit came upon that article. You know, that's not to be lost on us, because that's Old Testament. Because it's found in the New Testament. Hey, before Jesus went about preaching, teaching, healing, ministering, what happened to Jesus before he was qualified to serve?
The Holy Spirit came upon him.
Now, that's almost an enigma, because Jesus is God, but Jesus was also man. And as a man, fulfilling the ministry that God had called him to, and his baptism. Remember the baptism of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3? In that baptism, what happened? All of a sudden, he comes up out of the water, and then what do we read? A dove descended. What's the dove? What's that all about? Well, you got to know the rest of the Bible, and you do. You know what those types are. You know what the dove represents. In Jesus, before he spoke and ministered and taught and gathered his disciples, and before Jesus did anything, he needed that anointing. He needed the Spirit of God to come upon him, to qualify him for service. Hey, if the censers and the utensils in the tabernacle needed the anointing, and if the disciples needed to be anointed, you remember Jesus said, hey, guys, no, I'm going to heaven, but don't you dare go out there and try this. Oh, but we know how to do this. What I'm going to just do is I'm going to memorize the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to memorize the Beatitudes, and I'm going to go wherever I go, and I'm just going to say the Beatitudes. And that's it. That's what Jesus taught. So now I know what Jesus taught, so I'm going to say what Jesus said. It doesn't work that way. Before you be my witnesses, what did they need to do? Go to the city of Jerusalem and wait. For how long? Jesus didn't say. Until. Wait until. Now we know that it happened to be 10 days. If it was 110 days, they would have had to wait 100. No matter how long it was, you don't dare go. You don't go. Don't go in my name. Don't go do this. Don't go do that. Don't go do anything until you're endued with power from on high. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, if that all needed to be, if everything that was used in the temple needed to be anointed with oil, if Jesus, if the disciples, if the early church needed to be anointed with oil, do you think that you need to be anointed with oil? Do you think you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God before you can be what He wants you to be?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
I'm sure so. And now, what is that though? Where do I get that? Well, when I gave my heart to Jesus, it was a work of His Spirit. It was. When I gave my life to Jesus, I was born again by that Spirit of God. That's true. And the Bible says that. But that's not all the Bible says. The Bible says that subsequent, after that fact, after that new birth, there is throughout the Bible taught to us that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The word baptism means immersed, like baptism in water. Baptism in the Holy Spirit simply means to be immersed in water. When the high priest was anointed, when anybody was anointed, kings were anointed, they took a horn of oil, not a trumpet, not a French horn, but they took this large amount of oil. I tried to find, if anybody ever finds out or can dig out where, how much oil, I tried to find, how much oil did Samuel take, for instance, when he went to anoint this one or that one? How much oil was in that thing? And I couldn't find anywhere how big those horns of oil were. It must have been an appreciable amount of oil. It certainly wasn't a little vial. They got here. It wasn't this, that's for sure. That'll never do it. This will never anoint anybody for anything. I mean, we use it now to anoint with oil in the name of the Lord, and we pray according to James and so on. That's what this is here for. For those that are sick, and we pray doing what James tells us. But that's not good enough to anoint. You need more oil than that. We know that because it says that when Aaron was anointed, the oil, they poured it on his head. And then imagine this. This must be a grand mess. But it just ran down. It ran down Aaron. It ran down Aaron's beard, it says. Beards are scriptural. Frank? It ran down Aaron's beard, even to his skirts. I don't know if skirts for men are scriptural. But the bottom of his garment, his phylactery. That's how much oil there was. Just he was doused, he was immersed in oil. You know, the Holy Spirit, to make us what He wants us to be, wants to immerse us in oil. He wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just want a little bit. Do you remember, anybody remember Bro Cream? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be old to remember Bro Cream. It was something that they gave men to put in their hair to stay it where it's supposed to stay before they called it gel. Bro Cream. And what was their slogan?
A little dab will do you.
There you go. A little dab will do you. Well, when it comes to this anointing, a little dab won't do you. You need a lot more than a little dab, and especially in the days that we live in the days that we serve the Lord. Where does the boldness come from that we can stand? And I hear that all the time, all over the place. Well, you know, I'm a little shy, and in school I can't hide it. I don't want to let... Where does the boldness come from? Where does that come from? How do you know? It comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. But how do you know? I mean, that's nice. Okay, we came up with that answer. But do we have any scriptural backbone to stand on? Where does that boldness come from? Well, you read in Acts chapter 3 and 4 and 5 and go on through the book of Acts. With boldness they spoke the word of God. That was a byproduct of they being filled with the Holy Spirit. They went out in the dispersion and the persecution that was rampant in their day in Jerusalem, and they were scattered here and there and at the peril and risk of their own life, no matter what it cost, for his sake, they went about to preach this message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, as Brother Peter preached it this morning. That Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sins. He shed his blood for our sins. He was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. And they preached that message, no matter what it cost. And the Lord used them. And with boldness they proclaimed that message. And then there were signs that followed. There were lives that were convicted and hearts that were turned. Where did that come from? Was that because Peter was so eloquent? Because Peter was so good at what he did? Peter was afraid of his own shadow a week before that. He couldn't stand up to a little girl, a damsel around the fire when he was questioned. Don't you know him? Aren't you one of his? I never knew the man. I don't know who he is. Peter, come on. You're Peter. Yeah, I'm Peter and I know who I am and I'm pretty weak. Until he was filled with the Holy Spirit and until he was immersed and baptized with the Spirit of God. Then there came a change, yes, even in Peter, and he stood up on a milk box that first Pentecost Sunday and he preached a sermon and he called those people to repentance and 3,000 were saved. Oh, Peter, that must have been something, wasn't it? No, it wasn't anything Peter, it was the Holy Spirit. Fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. I need to be filled with power from on high. So let's get back to Gideon for just a few minutes in closing. Gideon, you're poured out on that altar and this fire consumed the sacrifice. Great. Gideon, you cut down the altars of Baal and Asherah, and that's great too. But now, is there anything more with you, Gideon? And there is more. In the 33rd verse of chapter 6. It says that all the Midianites and all the Amalekites and the eastern peoples joined forces and they crossed the Jordan and they camped in the valley of Jezreel. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And he blew the trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms. Also into Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. So now you're getting all these tribes of Israel, the names of the clans, that's what these names are. And they're all hearing this, whatever they were hearing. They heard the trumpet sound. It was a call to war. It was a call to arms. It was a call to battle. Because there is a battle and there is an enemy. And Gideon now is mustering the troops, and they hadn't heard that sound for at least 7 years. They were greatly impoverished. They were in great need. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. I don't think if Gideon just picked up his horn and began to play it, anything would have happened. But the Spirit of the Lord did something there, and these people came out from the woodwork, or from their tribes, from the caves and the dens, and word got spread and passed around. The trumpet sound, they were called to battle. Let's go fight, let's go fight. Who's leading us? Who knows who's leading us into battle? But come on, let's go fight, let's go. And how many of them came out? 300. No, we're going to get to 300 tomorrow.
Yeah.
How many came out? 32,000. That's a lot of guys. 32,000 people answer the call. 32,000 people come running from their tents and their caves or wherever they were hiding, and they come out and they're gathering there. They're gathering there with Gideon. And here's Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Who, me? No, not yet. Well, maybe. I'm getting there. I'm closer than I was when we first started. He's making me what he wants me to be. I don't feel really qualified for this, and I'm sure I'm not, but we're heading in the right direction. But then as you continue just to the end of the chapter, it says that Gideon says to God. Now imagine being in Gideon's sandals. You're standing there and you've got all these guys, 32,000 people. I mean, there's just so many all around. The troops are gathering. And you know that God has chosen and called you. And it's a little daunting. The task is a little overwhelming for Gideon. He doesn't know what he's going to do next. And he has to be sure that the Lord is with him. He has to be equipped by the Lord. He can't do this in his own strength. He can't do this by himself. He needs help from God. And so he says, Lord, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, I'm going to put a piece of wool, a wool fleece, on the threshing floor. If there's dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said." Okay, so you got the picture? He's got this piece of wool. And he lays it on the ground and he says, "Lord, you know, I got to know. I mean, I got to know for sure. I just can't do this all myself. So, Lord, you got to help me. If this is really you, if we're not 32,000 sheep being led to the slaughter, but if we're 32,000 strong that are going to take the victory, I need to know from you that you're in this, that you're with me, because I'm not going to do this in my own strength. I'm not going to do this by myself because I have no power, I have no might against these enemies. So, Lord, I want you to take this little piece of cloth here, and I want this cloth to be, just soak it. I mean, baptize it. I mean, drench this little piece of cloth that I'm laying out here. And let that thing be soaked and saturated, but everything around it be just bone dry. Now, that would be a miracle. You know, when dew comes down, you know what dew does? It just wets everything. You walk through the grass early in the morning from here to where Brother Tom and Sister Mary live, and if it's a nice day like it was today, I haven't tried it, but you probably get your shoes all wet because there's dew on that lawn, and they're not spots where there's no dew. It's just all over. But Gideon is asking kind of a strange thing. He's asking for a miracle. So it goes on and it says that he got up the next time and the next morning, and this is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day and he squeezed the fleece, that piece of cloth, and wrung out the dew. Now look at these words. I don't know. You tell me where I'm wrong or if I'm wrong. But it says then, this is in the Bible, a bowl full of water. Interesting. A bowl full of water. Can you remember back all the way to yesterday? Gideon said to the angel of the Lord, "Stay right here. Stay right here. Let me go get something. Let me offer a sacrifice." So he went and he got some stuff. And among all that he got, he brought a broth, I think it said, didn't it?
Yeah.
What was the broth in? A bowl of broth. A bowl of broth. And what did the angel tell him to do? Take that bowl of broth, that soup, and we used this yesterday. We said, this is Gideon, actually. Pour it out. Just pour it out on that rock. Well, when you pour out what's in the bowl on the rock, when you empty yourself of yourself, what do you have left?
Nothing.
Or?
The bowl.
But what's in the bowl? It's an empty bowl. Emptied that thou shouldest fill me. A clean vessel. That's Gideon's song. Wait, that's Gideon's song. Emptied. That thou shouldest fill me. He took, I can't prove this at all. I think that it was the same bowl. I think it was the very same bowl that he dumped out the day before. I don't know that he had a whole lot of bowls lying around anyway. But I like to think, at least, that it was the same bowl that was emptied the day before when he poured out all himself. He poured himself out on that altar of sacrifice. And then the next day, or whatever it was, 2 days later, all of a sudden, he gets this fleece that's soaked with dew. What is that dew? What is the dew likened to in the Bible? The dew of Hermon. Do you ever read that? I think you maybe have in Psalm 133. It's the same chapter, is it not? Where we read about Aaron's beard, the Holy Spirit, even to his skirts. The dew that comes down on Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon was a holy mountain. A holy mount of God. 9,000 feet high. Always snow-capped at the top. And there as the dew descends on Hermon every day, and then it flows down, they tell me. I have never seen it or been there. But the water comes flowing down from Hermon right to Zion, right to Jerusalem, right to the city of God. Comes down every day, and there's like a fresh supply just flows. That's how damp or dewy it gets up there. And it flows down right to the people of God, right to Zion city. Like the dew on Hermon. Now here, I want the dew to saturate this thing, and it did. And he rings out what I believe is that empty bowl that represents my brother Gideon. And I believe that that dew, that water represents the Spirit of God. And it just filled that bowl. Is Gideon getting closer to service?
Yes.
Is he getting closer to being the man that God had said when the you mighty man of valor? I want you to be the deliverer, but I'm the least. I'm nothing. I can't. It's not possible for me. Oh, but we're getting there. We're getting there because we've been cleansed from our sin and we've been consecrated and sanctified. And we're getting a little closer because now the Spirit of God has fallen upon us, qualifying us. But there's one last piece to the puzzle. Well, it's not a puzzle. But look at the last verse in that chapter, the sixth chapter, or next to the last verse. Gideon says, oh, Lord, don't be angry with me, but could I just ask you one more thing? Kind of reminds you of Abraham, right? Well, if there are 50 righteous people, would you? Oh, okay, Lord, how about 40? How about 35? You know the amazing thing about that story? That there weren't 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Think of it. Were not 10 right? If there were 10 righteous, that city would have been spared, but there weren't. That's how wicked and perverse it was. Well, here, Gideon says, Lord, don't get angry with me, but could I ask you another favor or another sign? Lord, this time I'm going to go to sleep tonight, and this time I'm going to put that same fleece out, but let the fleece be dry. And everything around that fleece, just let the dew just soak it. And he got up the next morning, and guess what? Yeah, the fleece was dry. And everything around the fleece was wet, soaked with the dew. Now, what do you think that could possibly be? Gideon had gotten his portion the night before. But what was he asking the Lord? What was he wanting to confirm, perhaps, in his own mind? Does anybody have a thought? What was he thinking about when he came back the second time and said, Lord, okay, leave me alone, but everything around me, Lord, are you going to anoint? Are you going to pour out your Spirit upon? What could that possibly have to do with? We want the Lord's presence to be with us. That's what he was asking for. Particularly to be with who?
Israel.
Yeah, the armies around me. All Israel. Those that are surrounding me. I'm not in this by myself. I mean, I'm good to go, but I'm not going by myself. But Lord, are you with us? Are you with your people? Are you with your church? Is it just me or is it us? And it never should be. It never was meant to be. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, how many of them were filled? Just Peter, James, and John. That was good enough. I read in my Bible they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't you read that in your Bible? Every one of them. If there were 6 million there, there would have been 6 million of them filled with the Holy Ghost. There were only 120 gathered. So that's all that were filled that time with the Holy Spirit. But the Lord never intends to fill him and not you and her and not him. And oh, not you. No, 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 yes. You know, this isn't duck, duck, goose. This isn't yeah, 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 no, yeah, 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 no, 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 yeah, yeah. What the Lord wants to do is yeah, yeah, yes, 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 absolutely, positively, yes, 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 yes. Forget about it. No! Yes, 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 yes. And every one of us to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. How soaked are you this morning? How drenched are you this morning? Do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled to how much? Filled to overflowing. Wring it out so that you got a whole bowl full. So there's no more room for any of self anymore. It's all Christ. It's all God. It's all by His Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but Lord, by your Spirit. Oh, I think Gideon learned a lesson, and I think he got encouraged and emboldened. No, I'm sure he did, because I know what the next chapter says, and maybe you do too. Something happened. Something happens when the Holy Spirit falls upon a group of people. Something changes. Some people cry, some people shout. Some people melt, some people stand, some people sit. But everybody's empowered. Everybody's emboldened. Everybody is made what he wants them to be, in body, in soul, and in spirit, no matter what it cost, for Jesus' sake. Are you drenched this morning? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? As the Holy Spirit, do you want to be?
Yes.
Do you care to be?
Yes.
Is it important enough to be? Could you sit up, please? Thank you. It's important that every one of us, and the Lord won't come if you don't want him. If you're not interested, if you couldn't care less, if it's, oh, it doesn't matter to me, the Lord's not going to come. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him, who obey Him. Lord, we pray this morning that You will fill us with the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Lord, You've taken us from where we've been, and we've sung about it, the wonder of it all. You've come into our lives and into our hearts and saved us and changed us. And so thank You, Lord, for what You've done. But Lord, we pray today that You will work deeper in every one of our lives. Lord, that You would put into us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Lord, if You don't go with us, Moses said, then we're not going. Don't carry us on. We can't go by ourselves. Lord, we need You. We need Your presence. Pilgrim Camp needs Your Spirit and Your presence on these grounds. Pilgrim Camp has only been since 1946 what it's become because of Your presence, because of Your anointing. It really isn't anything to do with the gardeners or any of the other founders or leaders in this camp. Lord, it's all of God. It's all of His presence. It's all of His anointing, and it's His Spirit. And dear Lord Jesus, I pray that You would give us a desire, dear Lord, to be filled today. Lord, take us, take every one of us, and make every one of us what You'd want us to be. No matter what it cost.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, no matter what it cost. In Jesus' name we pray. Fresh anointing, a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. For I need a new empowering in my life. To be used more for Thee. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Praise the Lord. Now today, after the meeting this morning, if anybody wants to still make a craft, those crafts that you've made already, some of you, if you want to make another one, Sister Joyce will be out there. You can take care of that. And this morning, if anybody wants to play ping pong, you can do that. I'm talking about guests, our tournament. Oh, yesterday, I guess we should say that Sister Irene and Brother Gavin won the shuffleboard tournament. Congratulations to you both. And we'll see what happens with ping pong today. If anybody would like to play right after the meeting, we can do that. 2 o'clock. The DVD, and this evening, there's a new craft, a different craft. You know, you were having trouble with the crafts yesterday. There were heads rolling, heads of angels rolling all over, and I think if another head were to roll, Sister Joyce would have had your head roll. So the new craft that she came up with is she's just going to give you a piece of chalk. And you can go scribble on the ground someplace, and you'll probably be okay or safe with that. Not really. That's not true. God bless you. We're dismissed. Have a wonderful day.